This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Satya Nadella and I chatted about a whole bunch of stuff on the program yesterday. What the Microsoft CEO thinks about immigration and changes to the tax code, and how he goes about running a company that 42 years after it started had maybe gotten a bit long in the tooth. Nadella's new book is called Hit Refresh, and today part two from Microsoft headquarters up in Seattle.
Part of the, I guess, theory behind you doing this book is to lay out your vision for the future of this company. You talk a lot about cloud technology, which you ran before you got the top job. You talk about the HoloLens and augmented or mixed reality. A lot of talk about artificial intelligence here, which is all great and whiz-bang. I wonder, though, if getting those right makes up for you guys having missed mobile.
I mean, it's always the case when a company like ours that's been around for 42 years, and here we are competing with a whole lot of new people, and that means we got some things right and we may have missed some things. But the question is, if you miss something, you don't rue that fact. You really look at what's the next turn. We are very, very excited about the cloud. That's something that's really driving a lot of our current growth, by the way. And now I believe the next big waves are going to be these two, mixed reality and AI, and we definitely are in the forefront of it.
Paul Allen and Bill Gates, when they started this company, the mission was, in essence, a desktop on a computer on every desk, right? So that people would be connected and that would change the economy, which it has. With all of these things you're working on now, the cloud and the HoloLens and AR and all of that, what does it look like if you are as successful as Bill Gates and Paul Allen were 40 years ago?
Yeah, it's a, you know, when I joined the company, even as late as 1992, we used to talk about our mission as a PC in every home and every desk. Yeah. And just by even the end of that decade, at least in the developed world, we had pretty much accomplished, quote unquote, that mission. That's when it struck me that that was a goal as opposed to a mission. Our goal from the very first day when Bill and Paul created the very first product that this company produced, which was the basic language interpreter for the Altair, was to create technology so that others can create more technology. That's what I see.
There's a moment in this book where you, well, I should back up here and explain that there's a not small part of this book that's personal. About your journey, about your family, and about your oldest son, Zane, who was born disabled with cerebral palsy, has required hospitalization and care. And there's a moment in the book where you were sitting in his hospital room one night.
That was much later because he's had many surgeries. And one night I was sitting in a hospital room and watching all of the machinery, all of these computers around the Children's Hospital in Seattle that, in fact, were running many of them Windows. And it hit home that the work we do here is so ingrained in our economy and in our society. And here it is, when in his most perilous time, he's sitting, I mean, he's in a hospital bed managed with devices and software that we built.
It bears a mention here. And you say this in the book, I'm not making this up. You basically would not be here if it were not for your wife. And her having given up her career as an architect to care for the kids, including Zane and a daughter who's got some learning challenges. Talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. Anu is my life partner, and I've known her all my life. We grew up together. But for, quite frankly, the sacrifices she had to make, I wouldn't be here. She has been able to hold the front and home with Zane and all of the other challenges we face. But also as someone who, through all of this, has helped me grow. She's the one who has influenced a lot of how I think on the most important topics.
One of the things that's big in tech right now, and has been for a number of years, but is becoming more pressing, is the issue of diversity and specifically women in technology. What is Microsoft's role in that, and how do we boost that pipeline? Because tech companies always say, oh, we don't have women in the pipeline, so you can't blame us if 4% of our engineers are women. How do we fix that?
Well, I mean, there's two sides to it, I think. One is we have to make it more amenable, inviting computer science as a curriculum But the first place where I want us to, instead of worrying about the supply side, we at this company have to every day get better at the diversity and inclusiveness of the people who are already here. Because the best way we can make it more attractive for more women to join computer science, join companies like Microsoft, is for them to come here, thrive here, feel a sense of belonging and inclusion. That's, I think, what's the most important agenda I have in this company.
Do you feel like you have a clue as to what's going on down in the cubicles in Building 72 across the hall?
You know, one of the most intimidating things that I do is this town hall, which is a Skype broadcast where people can have live emojis, feedback, which is all anonymous, on what I'm saying. And I analyze it afterwards, how many thumbs up versus thumbs down I got. So, quite
frankly, really that easy, thumbs up or thumbs down?
There's lots of other emotions too people express, but the idea,
not necessarily emojis.
But you know, it's always hard. You're absolutely right that being a CEO means that sometimes you get abstracted from what's happening. But I think the real power comes when you are able to synthesize, and there is. And it really is something that you have to take and make a conscious decision and take time on.
Satya Nadella, thank you.
Thank you very much.
If you missed part one on the air yesterday, we rolled the whole interview into one episode of our Corner Office podcast. Check it out.